Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Business Upside Podcast. This is Professor Alex Chakrabarty, a professor with more than 20 years experience and more than 20,000 students spread across the globe. Our weekly podcasts will allow you to interact with the authority and become invincible on your journey and find your hidden genius to excel in life. Today I'll speak on how to deal with your inner critic using self-compassion. In this episode, I'll share some experiences with you and discuss self-compassion as a key to overcoming your inner critic. Now, shall we start? First of all, let's start with the question, is your inner monologue encouraging, calm, kind, or is it critical and bullying? If it's the latter, like in most people's cases, what to do? Well, in the beginning, you must understand what is your inner critic and how it can affect your self-confidence. In popular psychology, inner critic refers to our negative thoughts and our monologues we have about ourselves with ourselves. Hence, it can really take a toll on our self-confidence. Apart from that, negative ideas impact us by weakening our good feelings about ourselves as well as others and encouraging self-criticism, introspection, skepticism, self-denial, and withdrawal from goal-directed pursuits. What is self-compassion? And how can it help to overcome the negative thoughts about ourselves? Self-compassion is the ability to turn understanding, acceptance, and love inward, that is, towards ourselves. Many people provide compassion to others, but it is difficult to show compassion to ourselves. As some of you may believe, self-compassion is an act of self-indulgence, but in reality, both terms are far from familiar as it is our reluctance to accept our flaws, which might make it harder to achieve emotional well-being. Self-compassion is all about accepting ourselves regardless of the circumstances. This practice can greatly help in a variety of psychological issues, including anxiety and insecurity. According to studies, many women in the United States have less sympathy for themselves than males. This might be attributed to the fact that women are frequently given the position of the caretaker by the society, and with gender norms stressing the acts of nurturing and self-sacrifice. Experts argue that cultivating compassion for ourselves makes it easier to feel compassion for others. So we must be kind, calm, and more empathetic towards ourselves. In addition, you know, what is the inevitable question is that how to develop self-compassion? Firstly, identify your goals. Self-compassion isn't the same as self-care in terms of chocolates and bubble baths, nor is simply being kind. Compassion, according to Paul Gilbert, a clinical psychologist and founder of the Compassionate Mind Foundation, is best defined as turning inward towards pain. It is whether in ourselves or in others and taking the effort to heal it. Self-compassion is a willingness to connect with the pain at its source rather than looking for quick fixes. Secondly, accept the fact that you're only human and to err is human. So our mind is made up of negative and positive thoughts. Negative self-talk is a characteristic of being human and not a sign of something wrong that needs to be addressed. However, we have to program ourselves so that, you know, we reduce our criticism and we increase our productivity, we increase our positivity. Thirdly, tune your thoughts, understand them. Most of us have learned to avoid unpleasant and uncomfortable things because we are unable to cope with what we may encounter. Developing awareness of our inner world, such as what stimulates our feelings of anger, contempt, or humiliation, and how can we automatically react to them, the tone of our internal monologue. It is like building a new knowledge landscape. Now, the next is watch the tone of your monologue and develop a contradictory one. According to Saville Rockin, speaking to oneself with warmth and kindness feels like a verbal hug because it triggers the psychological memory of being protected. According to clinical psychologist Gilbert, maintaining an open, upright posture and a kind facial expression may have the same effect on your thoughts, even if it doesn't represent how you feel. Lastly, embrace this practice. Learning to be compassionate, like physical health, requires daily discipline. You must practice, you must put in the effort if you wish to reap the advantages. It is a lifelong adventure, so you must be at peace with yourself and make that commitment of a daily practice. Self-compassion has three parts, according to Kristen Neff, a self-compassion researcher and the first to define the phrases academically. First is kindness, self-kindness, which entails abstaining from harsh self-criticism. Second is recognizing one's own humanity, or realizing that everyone is flawed and suffers from pain and errors and failures. And third one is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the practice of keeping non-biased awareness of all the events, including unpleasant ones, rather than dismissing or exaggerating their impact. Now, before we draw our conclusion, let's talk about a small case study. Luther, a 19-year-old boy, dealt with his psychological health using self-compassion. Luther sought help for despair, remorse, and self-loathing stemming from a traffic accident he faced 3 months prior, in which he violated a red light and was hit by another vehicle. The other driver had serious but non-life-threatening injuries, while Luther was so badly hurt that yet he had to regain the use of his left arm at that time. He went to physical rehabilitation, but he could no longer play basketball for his college team. According to Luther, basketball was one sport in which he excelled, and his loss caused him to experience depressive symptoms and a lower sense of self-worth. Luther's therapist encouraged him to talk about his sentiments before reminding him that he is only human and everyone makes mistakes, and individuals can only progress by learning from their mistakes. So Luther agreed to this reluctantly, and his therapist worked with him through several sessions and made him realize that it is vital to comprehend and accept that he made a mistake, which he has already done, but it is also important to forgive himself. When his therapist asked how he would treat a friend in a same circumstance, Luther recognized that he would behave compassionately rather than harshly. The therapist then encouraged him to turn his feelings of compassion inwards, helping him regain the mental health and turn the negative emotions to positive emotions. So what did we learn today? We learned that self-compassion, we learned, you know, we have to deal with our inner critic using self-compassion, and we need to practice daily. It's a lifelong learning, but it gives rich dividends. So it is something that needs to be practiced lifelong. We are all human, and we must learn to forgive ourselves and encourage ourselves and think about positive things about ourselves. So let's wrap up for today. That's it for today. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Stay tuned for more podcasts, and see you for now. Thanks. Bye for now.